over again, and it was really quite a forward position, and it was bouncy as hell. However, we survived it, and it was great. I did injure my knee at that time quite badly, and was sent to hospital in France for a week or so, or 10 days, and I was relieved to be out. That was my first time out in 53 days that I had had a straight action, so it was kind of a relief.
First real sleep?
Pardon?
First real sleep?
First real sleep, that's right, yeah. And an injured knee, but that was great, you know. So we went on from there to, let's see, we're in Cannes. Oh yes, to the whole business of the Gap. What's the name of the place? Valet's Gap, yeah. By this time, I was definitely a second in command. I remember that now. And I couldn't, perhaps it was partly because I'd been out, because partly because I hadn't been in action, but in any case, we were to attack across the beginning, really the beginning of the closing of the Gap. We were to attack across a little valley with a stream running down it. It was only half a mile wide, and it was open. We were in the woods, and it came as, and then the attack was stalled. It always is for an hour or two, and then another couple of hours, and so on and so forth, and eventually, I had to turn around and go back again. I couldn't bring myself to going down that little valley, okay? So again, I went back to hospital, this time with battle shock, I guess they call it, I don't know. It was a very upsetting time for me. I felt pretty badly about myself. And I again slept for 3 or 4 days, that's what reminded me of it. And again, went back in and now, when did I rejoin them? I went back to them. Yes, they were still in the Valais area when I got back to them, because it was only a short time that I was out. And then we had the fun. We had when we moved out of Valais and headed for the coast of France, and on up we were riding on tanks and in transports and doing a bit of walking, but an awful lot of it. And the second in command's job is always to go ahead and find where the positions for the company are going to be that night. So I was going out ahead in jeeps and stuff like that with the others and the other four, and we had quite a good time of it. We got vegetables, and Roger Shelrup was the company commander, and he had good quarters, you can be sure of that. So did I, and we had eggs for the first time, and we couldn't get any booze because there didn't seem to be any of that around, but that was okay. And this went on until we got to Calais, and we got stopped cold at Calais. We moved around in Calais quite a bit. Again, I was left out of battle for 3 or 4 days in Calais. It was a standard routine, and I remember being cold, and it was by this time September, and eventually we got into Calais. Calais was quite something. We saw they say we had nothing to drink ever since D-Day. Actually, we didn't, and there simply never was. Oh, a bit of the cider in Normandy, but nothing. It was horrible stuff. Any case, in Calais, the German there had been cut off from all. He was isolated, and we got into some of his story stuff there, and I remember a room the size of this house, stacked three high with cognac, five-star cross cognac brandy, things like that. This was pretty incredible. However, the CO did a very wise thing. He put a lot of, he sealed it up, and we were all allowed to have, you know, a measured amount with our meals kind of stuff, and that helped a little bit, but still a lot of it got out of there, I can tell you. So then the next thing that happened was that not that night, but the following night, they moved us out on foot, and we marched. We moved. Oh, Bill Matthews could tell you about this, but it was a good long distance, something like 10 or 12 miles at nighttime in the middle of the night. And the road was littered with people pulling bottles out of their, of cognac out of their battle blouses, and they simply was too much to carry. You know, the first things do come first. However, it was a great time, the first time we had booze. And we were moved on into Belgium. And I remember I forgot the name of the place where we were that night. But in any case, the following day, we moved on down and into an attack situation. The attack was across the Leopold Canal. This was October the 6th of whatever year it is. And again, we were forward troops. We were first across. That was a very, have you had that one described to you at all, as Leopold Canal battle?
Not in much detail.
It was quite a startling thing. It, like two or three other things that I've already told you, this is here. It was pretty horrifying. In any case, we moved up on tapes, white tapes at nighttime. And at very first light, the engineers threw some salt bridges across the canal, which wasn't very wide at that point. But there was big banks on each side of it, okay? And the German was behind his bank on his side, and we were behind our bank on our side. And they lined up all the flamethrowers, all the Bren gun carrier flamethrowers, and proper flamethrowers that they could. And there's somewhere, and I read this the other day somewhere, how many there were, and I've forgotten, but there seemed to be an awful lot of them. And at HR, they all let go. And the whole light, the whole sky just went pow, and the Reginas were doing the same thing down on our left. Winnipegs were in reserve this time. And their light, their sky lighted up too. And the flamethrowers were sent over. Then the bridges were run over. And we ran, we were the first, mine was the first bloody platoon across, actually. And I was a company commander by this time, because, yeah, that's right, too, I was. I commanded the company that day. I commanded the company one day, and this was it, okay? Roger Sheldrup, who was the regular company commander, had been moved up to second in command, and of the battalion, that is, and for the crossing. So we were pretty good at crossing by this time anyway, but we got across, and we turned left, as was instructed, and moved on down. We were on our side of their bank, okay, and they were on the other side of the same bank, so the bank was like as high as that ridge up there, and there was a bit of grenade throwing going on back and forth, but you couldn't stick your head up or you'd get it cut right off, either side, okay? We had to get out somehow or other, and one of the platoon commanders who was in the point came back and said, hey, I found a road and a copse of woods, and we can get out and down onto a road and go on to Ardenburg, I think was the name of the place. And I said, oh, great. And I called the platoon commanders for what they call an O-group. You probably know what an O-group is. It's just, you know, the platoon commanders were there, and the company commander said, okay, this is what we're going to do. And it was so simple, you know, we're just going to move. We could have followed where Peters showed us, and we're going to move. And just then, somebody yelled, grenade, which means watch out. And I sort of turned around and went off right behind me here, and that was the end of my war. So it was all over then. I was wounded out and sent back to hospital and then to England and to Basingstoke, actually, because it was in my neck, and home again. So there it is.
Okay. When did you arrive home?
January 1945, wasn't it? Or? Yeah. 12th of January.
Is there anything else you'd like to add, or any topic that we haven't discussed?
Shut her off here. Philosophically, there's a hell of a lot of horror, and a lot of traumatic dealings that you have to have with people and with yourself in these kinds of situations. And dealing with it even now, 45 years later, remains traumatic and upsetting, and it renews a lot of things that over the years one has learned how to deal with, to cope with, to keep the lid on, to rationalize. I don't know what it is, but it's something that you just never get over. You just never get over it. And I don't know if that's, they were nice guys. I've known lots of nice guys since then, and I knew them before, and we were doing a job, and there has to be a certain amount of pragmatism or sort of a practical approach to this thing, otherwise you just go under.